tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello! Welcome! Welcome to the SVU AfterBuzz After Show. I'm your host, DL Teagle. With me, of course, Roya Tahiri.
Hi, I'm jamming to the song because I can.
Yeah, because this song is a jam.
I'm a little bit upset, though.
Why are you upset?
Because there was no iced tea in this episode.
There was no iced tea.
So I can't do an iced tea joke.
I'm sorry.
And I have to wear these glasses. I mean, I don't have to. I just want
to. Yeah, don't even. We're talking about Producers Back End, Season 16, Episode 3.
Wait, before we begin,
Producers Back End.
Okay.
Was that not the name of the episode? That's the name of the episode.
Okay, no, just the way you send it. Never mind.
great. So before we begin, quick warning, because especially this episode talks a lot about child abuse of sorts, sexual assault, molestation, statutory rape. We're warning you now, it is a heavy topic, and sometimes when it goes dark, you have to be able to laugh about it a little. And so sometimes we will make some off-color remarks. Warning, that's going to happen.
Yes, and we don't mean anything by it.
No,
if you've been victimized, we do not mean it at all
right.
to hurt you.
We found an amazing resource that we want to share with you. It is called RAINN, R-A-I-N-N. And Roya will give us the hotline number for anybody who needs it.
Yes, there's a national sexual hotline, assault hotline. And it's 1-800-656-HOPE. That's 1-800-656-H-O-P-E.
Awesome. Hope. All right, so let's jump into this episode. We start with Tensley Evans, who I'm going to go on record. I admit I was 100% wrong last week. I thought it was going to be the Amanda Bynes story with a hint of Lindsay Lohan, and it was the opposite. It was Lindsay Lohan, very clearly.
It was a little bit of both.
There was less Amanda Bynes, more Lindsay Lohan.
True.
I was trying to get us the bullet points of Lindsay Lohan's story, but it's so complicated, and over the course of years and her rehab and leaving rehab and jail and getting out of jail and getting jobs, losing jobs, getting fired for being late, getting fired for car accidents, DUIs, all of that. Such a long story. So we're gonna stick with Tensley Evans, who's 24. She leaves rehab, is drunk, gets into a car accident, flees the car accident, and is arrested by Amaro in the greatest scene ever of her hitting on Amaro and him, not having any of it.
What's funny is the way she read his name on his tag is exactly
yes.
how I would have read it, too.
Yeah.
And that's sober as well.
Yeah, of course. But what's really funny is the way she responded is the way I would have tried to get out of a ticket sober.
Well, before that, even before she drives off, the lady that gets hit by her
yeah.
car and she realizes who she is starts acting, oh, my back!
Yeah.
And, goes down. Why couldn't the guy be like, hey, we need a bus over here, not Amaro, get over here, I need
yeah.
you. What was that teamwork?
Not only Amaro, get over here, I need you, as soon as Tensley takes off, it's, oh, I got this.
Yeah. It's too much work. You go.
So she, of course, gets arrested. Ooh, handcuffs. I'm sorry. Am I the only one that, as she was saying, I was like, those are the words I would use to get out of a ticket.
Really? That's how you would get out of a ticket? Ooh, handcuffs?
No. How I would have gotten out of a ticket was the, let's find another way to deal with this. Oh, you're going to call your captain? Sure, I love threesomes.
Oh, my gosh. Note to self, do not be in the car with Yell when she gets pulled over by a cop. It might get freaky. Duly noted.
Well, he arrests her. Amaro arrests her. She's in court. And, of course, being Tensley, she claims that he assaulted her. At this moment, all I could think was, why is it that every woman claims that Nick assaults them?
Because he's just so good looking.
You know what, though? Stabler only got it once or twice. It, very rarely happened. And it was usually, there was a great episode where it happened.
Yes, but Stabler and Amaro are two different kind of guys, attractiveness. Stabler
right.
was, body, oof, you don't want to mess with him. Amaro's he's a pretty face.
Okay. So pretty
he's
face.
Easier to target.
Sure. Well, because she makes this claim, SVU has to intervene. They interview her, yet they see the dash cam, which very clearly shows him never saying any of the things she said that he claimed, that she claims he said. And then we find out, really, she left rehab because she claims that the psych director, whose name was Jim Durand, assaulted her. And therefore, she gets released into her mother's custody. We go to meet the psych director, who explains the whole situation very nicely. Yes?
Well, what I loved about it is before the case, when she did see the psych, the psychiatrist, before that even went anywhere, she comes up to Benson and be like, look, professional to professional.
Not yet.
Man.
Yeah. Out of order.
Well, I still like that, okay? Just going to throw that out
now. We'll get there. We're almost there. Give me a second. Ugh,
get there.
Okay, so Jim Durand, the psych director of the rehab facility, is accused of assaulting her. We meet him. He explains that, no, she wasn't assaulted, but she does throw herself at everyone. That is how she believes she needs to, deal with situations. Why is that? Well, that's a breakthrough that she's going through this. Then we find out that she fellated her roommate's son, who is 15, Gregory Miller, in the closet to thank him for pot. So Tensley is arrested for statutory rape. Great. This woman went from drunk driver to victim of assault from Morrow to victim of assault by her psych director at the rehab facility to statutory rapist.
Mm-hmm.
All within the first half hour of the episode. Crazy. Then she gets evaluated because maybe there's a reason that she's this way. And we find out that she understands her charges. She understands that she's being charged with statutory raping this child. She doesn't understand why what she did was statutory rape and how she, there's a great line. She understands the charges. She disagrees with the law.
Correct.
And that's when we get into the conversation you want to have about how great it is that the psychologist, who is not Wong, which really bothers me.
Really? That bothers you?
I miss him.
But he's going to come in for deeper cases.
I miss him a lot.
Can't use and abuse him.
We can. And I'm just saying. He comes in. This other woman who's not Wong. We're just going to call her not Wong.
Because she's not Wong.
No.
Oh, but I'm
sure. I feel like that was racist. So
I don't.
Anyway, we have to ask the question, why is Tensley like this? Why does she not think what she did to this 15-year-old? Why does she not think that that's wrong? And that goes into this whole question of if you don't know that you're a victim, if you don't know that you were victimized, are you a victim? Which is a whole conversation that I want to have, and we will get there. Well, we then find out, with the help of her lawyer, who is a great guy, that...
I like him.
I liked him, too. He was like, Tensley, you're not in trouble. We want to understand what's going on. Yeah. He was, very calm.
He was very fatherly.
Unlike her mother, Donna, not Dina Lohan. Sorry, I mean Donna Evans. What? It was supposed to be Lindsay Lohan's mother?
No, I didn't see it at all.
I feel like they went in, and when she got the role, she was like, so tell me about this role and this character. And they're like, Dina Lohan. She's like, got it. I got this. I got this. Because she was very clearly, regardless of who Tensley was supposed to be, Donna was very clearly Dina Lohan.
Yeah.
Very clearly. Well, we find out that when Tensley was 13 to about 15 or 16, she was looking for roles, and she started going to producer Adam Brubeck's pool party casting sessions, which, as people in L.A. who have seen casting sessions, pool party casting sessions are not something I'm familiar with. Roya, are you familiar with pool party casting sessions?
Why do I look at me?
Because I'm not familiar with them.
I just think this is a great episode to warn those that want to become actors and actresses and want to be famous that you really should pay attention to what you're doing and how far is too far.
Well,
just saying. We'll get to that.
I'll talk about how Hollywood works in a second. We find out that there's these casting pool parties, and that apparently when Tensley was 13, she started going to these parties. There were drugs, there was alcohol, and she was being not taken advantage of in her mind. It was tit for tat. It was, as she said, oh, blah, dee, oh, blah, da, which I don't think is, I don't think that means what she thinks it means. but she thought that she was nice to them and they were nice to her. And that's how life works.
Which there is that saying where if you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
Yeah.
But there's a huge fine line of how much of scratching you got to do.
Also, 13-year-old.
True.
Minor detail.
Maybe it's in the mother's perspective of if I scratch your back with my child's hand.
Oh.
Too soon?
No,
too
just
soon?
Gross. Just that image in my head. I can't believe I imagine it gross. sorry, guys. Well, we find out that there are multiple actors who went to these parties, and their careers kind of ended up becoming train wrecks. We hear about a Bella Maisley, a Jordana Russo, and an Amber Forbes, as well as Brody Clark, who is a male actor.
Question.
Yes.
Do you think any of those, since Lindsay Lohan, technically she's a Disney star, correct?
Yeah.
Any of those are referenced, like referring to any of the former Disney stars as well?
Mm. Bella Maisley, Jordana Russo. I don't know. It could be. It could, I mean, it really could be anyone.
Yeah, I'm just, you know.
The story is so common, and I think we have a few examples that we're going to get to. But we hear about Amber Forbes, who was new to the business, who was 15-ish, I think, and who drowned in a pool. We later find out how she drowned, and I love the idea of, you know, all sorts of kinks and great sexual explorations and any sort of BDSM, great, wonderful, like, go for it. I don't understand the going down on someone while your head is being held underwater. I don't understand the appeal for Adam. I was trying to think about it because, sorry, Tensley explains it. She says, we went down on him. And he held our head underwater while we took turns. Where is the... Why?
Are we really going to get into...
Yes!
I don't know if we should get into this.
Am I missing something?
Well, when you're suffocating for air, maybe it was a very quick, like, bop, bop, bop type thing.
But so the thing is that Tensley's like, I choked and had to leave. Right? Which I believe is what happens when you are stuck underwater.
Right, but you gotta keep something sealed to not, you know, the tighter the lips, the less water will be coming in.
Right, but then she gave
up. I'm trying not to get too detailed and gruesome about it.
Right, I'm missing something.
But the point that you are supporting people trying this?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm saying I'm all for a lot of stuff. Sorry, our producer got really freaked out. I'm all for, hey, if you're into autoerotic asphyxiation, whatever, like, do what you do. I just don't understand the appeal of this one. That's all I'm saying.
Well, Adam had something for it.
Yeah, and I hope, this sounds weird, but I hope somebody on Twitter or on YouTube or on iTunes explains this to me.
Yes, actually, this one time I was in a jacuzzi or a
or
pool.
Sends me
a jacuzzi,
like,
would be difficult.
I just,
that would be hard to do.
Look, I don't understand him holding the heads underwater. Maybe that's the part where I'm lost.
Maybe it's more of a mental thing for him to get a turn on of having that power of their life in his hands because they're underwater.
Yeah, look how that turned out.
Well, maybe he hasn't done it since.
I doubt it.
But he also gave them drugs, though, too, which is what we find out later. I know I'm jumping ahead.
Right.
I apologize, but we're talking about the situation.
Yeah, no, yeah.
So maybe
drugs.
For them, they didn't feel the pressure of being underwater as a threat.
And running out of air?
Well, that was something. Maybe he just got really excited and he didn't keep. I don't know. I can't. I'm not Adam. I don't know.
So we hear that Tensley, she says, I was choking, so I had to leave. And that's why she tried to take Amber with her. Amber was told to stay, and then she drowned.
Maybe Amber just doesn't know how to swim.
Okay. Well, moving on from this, I don't want to harp on this topic too much, but I just don't get it. I'm sorry.
I would, oh, man.
I really hope someone explains this to me. I apologize.
I don't really want someone to explain this to us, to be honest.
I do. I need, send me a link or something.
Private message. Yeah.
Yeah, I will read it on you. I will read this Wikipedia article. So Brody Clark was there. We find out Brody Clark is still working and hasn't been a train wreck, really. And he was in a screening room watching a movie, he says. But then we find out that, no, he, in fact, was with Adam's counsel, Dennis George, and they were not watching a movie. They were together, and they're both closeted.
Mm-hmm. Well, who honestly watches a movie when they're with someone else during a movie? I mean, seriously.
I really like cinema. I like films. Well,
I like swimming in water, okay?
Do you?
Whoa, all right. Back to you. Yeah,
Roya. So the police blackmail Dennis, basically, being like, we're going to out you if you don't help us take down Adam. And then we get what I found to be the most interesting part of this whole episode. Adam figured out the states that have an age of consent of 16 and a mistake of age defense, which is if you see a woman in a bar, for example, it is safe to assume that she is over 21. And a lot of states, and by a lot, I mean so far three that I've heard of, some states will allow you to use that as a defense. Well, we were in a bar, I assumed she was 21. Therefore, if she's underage, it's a mistake of age defense. Anyway, so he's making films. I put quotes on that. Making films in Pennsylvania, Montana, and Washington. And then we see, because he's so clever, we find his big mistake. And it's someone named Maud Peterson in Canada.
Real quick, those little videos of them doing his auditions.
Yeah.
Pretend you're a kitty cat. Yeah. What is the Austin Powers? Like, what? How? Okay, if you're in an audition, you should not be having those kind of comments come from the producer. Yeah, I can work with that. Yeah. Like, yeah. That's not
can
what you
do
want
to splits? Okay, bounce around.
Yeah. Up and yeah. Like
I just don't imagine him sitting there with his hands on the table.
And where were the parents?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you need to have a parental advice, like, under 18.
I don't think they have to go in the room with you. There
guys,
just have to be other people.
If
Do
you're
they?
A parent of an actress or an actor, you might want to go in with them. Just saying. Be smart. Yeah. I know you want your kid to be famous, but do that.
Yeah.
You don't want them to be famous for the wrong reasons.
Don't be Dina. Donna.
Yes.
That's her name. So we go to Winnipeg and meet Maud, who... what?
I wrote down her restaurant name, and I don't have those notes with me, and I'm really bummed, because it was a fun restaurant name.
Oh, was it?
It was like Hooters, but it wasn't Hooters.
Oh, that's fun.
It was some fun one.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did not write that down. Instead, I wrote that her name was Maud Peterson, and the film was supposed to be called Winnipeg Nights, and she was auditioning for a character named Mallory, who is a gymnast with cancer. Those are the notes I wrote.
Yes.
Did not catch the restaurant name.
I figured you would take really good notes, so I went from the background notes.
Thanks, I appreciate that.
And Canada, woo-woo!
Yeah. Filmed in Jersey. So we meet Maud, who, it turns out, there was really no film. And after the audition, the whole weekend audition in his hotel suite, she held her phone and kept it with her all the time, hoping for him to call.
Oh.
So sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
The project was never made.
Nope.
And we find out that he didn't even submit a script. There was no schedule. There was no budget other than his hotel and flight.
And first class.
First class. And his room service and pay-per-view.
Yeah.
But there was a treatment registered, air quotes on that, with the Writers Guild. And it's over 10 pages of basically nothing.
What did it say?
It said, all work and no play makes Adam a dull boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then we get to something that I didn't know about, and I'm so excited that I found it. It is a federal crime called sexual tourism that lands you 30 years in prison. Before we talk about that, let's just finish out the episode. Tensley. Then we see her on Hoda, who made her great guest appearances twice.
Why was Hoda on Law & Order SVU?
Guest starring?
She doesn't have her own show.
I know.
She doesn't have her own show. Yeah. And even her line, there's a line in this bit at the very end.
Yeah.
When Tensley starts talking about how she's coming too, and yeah. Kohoda goes, oh, wow. Delivers it like that. Like, wow.
Hoda's not an actress.
Hoda, what do you... Stop. Yeah. Where was the director on that?
Well, so apparently... Tensley is like, I'm going to help other young girls and teach them, you know, not to be victims and whatever. And I was like, you didn't even know, which we'll get to. She's on the path to sobriety, and she's landed an arc on Orange is the New Black.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a plug for a show. I expected her to make up a name, like her movies.
Therefore, we better get some cast members from Orange is the New Black. Oh, we have. We have on this season.
Yeah.
So therefore, maybe more. We'll get more.
Awesome. And then Benson real quick is like, oh, Noah's in the ER.
I don't know what's wrong.
And that's the end of the episode.
Well, real quick, before we move on to our news part, or like of our, like yeah, the breaking down of the yes. actual laws and stuff,
mm-hmm.
there was also Rollins and,
oh yeah, Amaro's Rollins and Nick
relationship was getting spicy, and No Mustache Man, Sonny, yeah. was catching on.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Everyone's going to figure it out soon. Yeah. I'm pretty sure Benson already figured it out.
And I have to say, I kind of think Sonny looks really good without his mustache.
Whoa!
I mean, I really liked that really creepy mustache, but I really enjoyed it being
disgusting.
Gone, too.
That is disgusting.
He looks pretty fine. I'm just saying.
I disagree. Well...
And I really liked him in this episode. He started yeah. standing up and doing research. His character became more real.
More, yeah. Well, sorry, you're right. We need to talk about Nick and Rollins. So, Nick is defended by... Rollins, of course. Benson goes to Tucker at IAB with the video to clear Amaro, and we see the dash video. And then Amaro is back at SVU, and you have a question. Go.
Didn't the guy tell Benson that Tucker that Benson's gonna have to wait?
Yeah.
Like, he's got a bunch of stuff he's gotta do before Amaro can make it?
So I thought that what happened was, and maybe I got the order of the conversation out of order, I think she came in and said, hey, you know this is BS. Amaro's a good guy. We want him back. And Tucker was like, no, you know, just because this is BS, I saw the video, it's fine. And then she was like, watch. And she shows us the video again. And it's and then after that, Amaro... Is someone...
having their own Law and Order in the...
Yeah, they're having some water sports right? happening over there.
Water sports?
Water sports?
Yeah. Oh, underwater, like in the pool?
Yes,
oh,
that's gotcha. What I was talking about.
Got it. I was thinking... You're bad with sports. Never mind. Yep. Go ahead.
Okay.
Water polo?
What? Okay.
Would have been a better?
No. Okay. Anyway. No, so I think Tucker actually watched the video with Benson and then did it. That's what I think. But you're right. He shouldn't have been back so fast. Maybe she lied to him.
Maybe.
And maybe he's going to get in trouble and then she'll take the blame, whatever.
Probably.
Yeah.
Peter Gallagher will do something
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, we'll get there.
I know, I'm just saying.
I want to talk about the sexual tourism law.
Okay.
Because it's a thing. Guys, extraterritorial sexual exploitation of children, that's a law. I'm going to read it to you. The extraterritorial sexual exploitation of children is the act of traveling to a foreign country and engaging in sexual activity with a child in that country. Federal law prohibits American citizens or residents to travel to a foreign country with intent to engage in any form of sexual conduct with a minor. That's someone under 18. It's also illegal to help organize or assist another person traveling for these purposes. This crime is a form of human trafficking, also referred to as child sex tourism. Convicted offenders face fines at up to 30 years. Basically, the show did not make anything up, which is amazing.
They never make things
up. I know, but like...
Just people's really bad names.
Donna.
Hoda. Dana. They should have made Hoda a different name.
Yeah.
Would have made me feel so much better.
But, like, it's a real thing. That's super exciting that that's a real law and that makes me feel safe.
But
and
does it make you feel safe? Because people are actually doing these kind of things.
But we have federal laws against it, not just state laws. Federal laws.
True.
30 years.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
I guess that exists.
I am excited for that, too. Before we move on, I want to take a quick moment, because we have lots to talk about still. So much to talk about. So thank you guys for listening and tuning in. We clearly love this show and doing our legal research because that's something we like to do here. So thank you so much for tuning in, streaming, watching, listening, downloading. We love it. Thank you. we ask you to do one simple thing for us. Go onto iTunes, rate and review us, give us a 5-star rating if you like us, a 4-star rating if you don't, and leave a comment letting us know what we're doing well, what we could be doing better. We have one shout out for today from iTunes. And it's come someone named D19934 who says, OMG, 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 yas, finally. this is a dream come true. I've been waiting a very long time. This panel is great. I can't wait for more. Happy face. Thank you, D19934.
I have one shout out for YouTube.
Go.
It's for BDWJ1986. How you doing? He loves us on AfterBuzz. So.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to make him feel really awkward.
Yeah, and, you made everyone feel really awkward.
Because I tried doing that. And then also, KDH, shout out for you. JoeyAB10, hopefully you are watching more AfterBuzz shows. Now you discovered AfterBuzz and this after show. Mm-hmm. And there's a bunch of other people. So thank you guys. Let's rate us on iTunes, though, and you'll get more of a shout out.
Yeah, iTunes.
5 stars.
Please. 5 stars if you like us. 4 stars if you don't. If you don't, you wouldn't have made this far. Roya.
Yes.
Let's talk about how Hollywood does it.
How? Literally?
Yeah. Because okay. It seems that this, because we have said this very clearly, Lindsay Lohan, but it could also be so many more.
Oh, I guarantee there's so many more actresses and actors out there that have been in this situation.
On the casting couch, as they call it, quote unquote, people.
And in April 2014, Bryan Singer from X-Men. Was actually accused of...
The producer, director too,
no?
Yeah, something like that.
A huge role in the movie. Was accused of molesting, what was his name, Michael Egan, when he was 15 years old at private parties in Encino and Hawaii.
Ooh.
Yes, and it says that alleges that the director forced him into sex when Egan was aspiring to be a teen actor, lured him into drug-fueled party scenes, which is notorious in Hollywood. And here's the thing, though. Hawaii and California have two different...
statutes of limitation.
Exactly. Hawaii is only a 2-year window.
Mm.
California, there is no window.
Yeah.
So, which is good news, but the Hawaii case got thrown out because it was too long since it happened in 1999.
Right.
And then there's also other executives. There's a former Disney executive who was accused, David Newman.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same situation with the Hawaii and California.
I mean, there's also the Elmo case. The man who was the puppeteer for Elmo for many years,
which is interesting. There's a lot of males that come out about it.
Yeah.
We don't really hear much about the females because I wonder, do you think it's more because if a man does it, that it's more believable than a girl who might be asking for it? And it sounds really bad, but that's how some people think.
She put air quotes on that. You just didn't see it.
Yes,
I got it. I think that it's common amongst both men and women. I think it's more accepted in Hollywood when it's women. I think that the casting couch is a thing that is expected in the area, and people come in knowing about it, and that it's expected, and women are less. As we saw with Tensley, it's a great tie into the other topic, that she didn't realize that she was a victim. She said, this is how it works. This is how you get a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's the issue. Whereas the Brody Clark with Dennis George story, the two men that weren't out, Brody Clark was of age. The situation was that neither of them were ready to come out.
Yeah. Do you feel that for that case, that Brody was victimized? Or do you think they were both wanting to be with each other, even though their age was a factor?
I mean, I think age difference doesn't mean anything. I think legal age is an issue, if that makes sense. So, the fact that Brody was 18 or even 16, whatever, I think New York it was 17. But I think that because Brody was an adult, it doesn't matter. I mean, I think Dennis and him, it was a mutual, consensual...
So they both wanted to be with each other.
Yeah, I mean, Brody didn't say that anything happened. He wanted to do what he did. He just didn't want to tell anybody that he was gay.
That's fair. And there was another actor that came out recently in the springtime, Corey Feldman.
Corey Feldman.
Who said that he had been repeatedly sexually abused by powerful men in the industry, and that this is a number one problem in Hollywood, was the pedophilia.
Pedophilia?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have trouble with big words?
I'm trying, man. I'm trying. I can read good.
Yeah. Well, so we have, all these different stories and all these different situations. And this happens. We hear these stories all the time. Almost every single actor that writes an autobiography ends up revealing some sort of being taken advantage of in the industry. And they know it, whereas we hear about, you know, Tensley. I'm going to bring it back to the episode. Tensley didn't know that she was, that it was not okay.
Right.
And her mother knew it was happening and also didn't seem to know and or care that it was not okay. I think there's a whole big question of, are you a victim? I mean, Tensley clearly was a victim, but do you as a victim start victimizing others if you don't know you're a victim?
That's a mind-blown question.
Yeah. Because
how can you know that you're victimized if you don't know that you're victimized and you victimize other people?
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm asking.
So then I think the answer would be no.
But she did statutorily rape Gregory.
Yes, but she makes a really good point. It's not, it's just by the law.
By the law, yes.
It says that she did it, but he enjoyed it. He's bragging about it. He's on Facebook talking about it.
But we see, when we switch it, we see those situations all the time. She's 24 and he was 15. So you switch that and she's 15 and he's 24 and everyone goes crazy.
Yeah, but if he was 24 and then she was 36.
No, I'm talking, I know, but we're like, talking about,
I know, but
I'm just explaining that every time we see it where the woman is younger and the man is older, it's without a question that is statutory rape. That is not okay. In this situation, he's bragging about what happened. He's excited that it happened. It's still statutory rape. She still fellated him in a closet. I really like to say fellated.
Belated.
Yeah. Well, I think because we have so much of it, I think it might be time to move into news and gossip.
I'm down.
Yeah.
AfterBuzz TV News.
I have some updates on the Stephen Collins case.
Well, can we save that for last? Because I just want to go into something that's kind of very recent that relates to this episode.
Speak.
Kesha, everybody, has come out that her producer, longtime producer, has abused her, sexually abused her, and verbally abused her over a decade. Dr. Luke is his name.
He physically, verbally, and sexually abused
her. Yes, and there is a quote that says that she, I lost it. Let me find it. Sorry, my internet's acting weird. That she, where'd it go?
Raya.
I'm sorry, I had it, and then I got excited. Mm-hmm. But basically, she said that she, when she was younger, she would wake up in his hotel bedroom naked, not finding, knowing where his her clothes are, be sore, and she would call her mom to come get her, to take her to the hospital. And the only reason why she never came out with it was because he threatened to destroy her career, her family, everything that she ever held. Yeah. So basically, what this case in this episode happened is what happened to her. So it can't be obviously about her because it came out just today.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And, he said, of course he's denying it.
Of course he's denying it.
Yeah. But she would say that she would get on planes. He would force her to take some cocaine, force her to take any kind of illegal drugs before getting on a plane. So she wouldn't even remember anything.
Yeah. That is crazy. Do you have any other, you have other news stories?
No, just Kesha. Look it up. Okay. This was on NBC News, by the way.
Yeah. I'm going to give an update about Stephen Collins, who we talked about last week, who's under investigation. His wife is not extorting him. He lost his TED 2 role last week. They also cut him out of Scandal this season. They've stopped airing Seventh Heaven reruns.
What?
On TV. And, his agency dropped him and his website has been shut down. He has yet to release a comment, I believe.
Okay, so
that's the update on Stephen Collins.
I don't mean to play devil's advocate, but I'm going to play devil's advocate. We've seen this happen on Law & Order, where someone has been accused of molesting children. And it comes out, they haven't even done that. They are clear, 100% innocent.
Do you remember how this story starts? That he admitted on tapes to molesting three little girls?
Maybe. But what if it wasn't true? What if it's like that photographer guy in Law & Order where he just has imagination about doing these kind of things to people, but it doesn't mean he actually has done it?
You mean the one that Amaro punched because he had a kill room?
Okay, that's a little far, but yes, that's the episode I'm referring to. Uh-huh. But I'm just saying, I'm playing devil's advocate. Okay. Does not mean I'm saying he's innocent.
That maybe he had these thoughts and that he...
His career is done for. Regardless, everything is done.
Yeah.
I don't know how he's going to survive after this.
Well, there was the other news story that last week, right after it was all announced, people thought they heard gunshots from his house, thought he killed himself, and the police stormed his house, and he was not even home. But I, at first, thought...
Stormed his house to get some evidence?
I honestly thought that... That's the only way that it could end at this point, I think. And I think
if he goes to jail,
I don't think it'll make. I honestly, his career, his life is pretty much in the toilet.
Do you enjoy his career as his acting?
Yeah, I did. I also got to meet him and interview him for Revolution. I don't want to say he's a great guy because I don't defend anything that he's done,
right?
But he seemed like they always do. He seemed like a nice, normal guy. Before we move on to predictions, I just really want to let everyone know about Rain again, R-A-I-N-N. You can go onto Rain's website and look at the different laws for your state. There is a definition of sexual violence for your state. There is mandated reporting laws for your state, confidentiality laws, and all sorts of other things, statute of limitation laws. So please check that out if you need it. Get help, get support, call the number.
The number is 1-800-656-HOPE. Again, that's 1-800-656-HOPE.
Awesome. Let's go into predictions.
Ooh. And now, you're after Buzz TV predictions.
So, next week we see a kid kind of take a school hostage. He's attacking women for revenge. Rollins is inside the school. She maybe gets shot. We'll see. It is basically... And I say this as someone who every week has been like, it's this story and been wrong. It's the Santa Barbara shooting. It's Elliot Rodger. It's the man who's taking out revenge on women and then takes the school hostage, kind of.
Okay.
And is killing people. That's what I believe the story is. Also, we have Peter Gallagher's arrival.
Woohoo!
Which I'm excited about. If it is the Elliot Rodger story, I think... It's weird to say, but I think it's way too soon for that story. That story brought up so much in... the world with the hashtag of yes all women and the whole hashtag of not all men and how that conversation became a huge thing. I think it's way too soon for an Elliot Rodger story. That being said, I think that's what next week is. That's my prediction.
I like to go against you.
Yeah, of course you do.
And I'm going to say it's not going to be about that.
Okay.
I think it's just be coincidence that he's at a school and he's shooting and he has a woman in his arm.
But they said that he's taking out revenge on women.
I don't think it's going to tie up to that story because, like you said, it is too soon, maybe.
Yeah.
And I just think that there are other cases with people in school shootings and other reasons behind it all. Maybe there's something else to it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go against you and I don't think it's wrong. But I do think Benson's baby is going to be okay.
Really?
Well, first off, there's no mention of the baby. She's already like, hey, we got to do this, guys. You know, first she's running off. I got to go. He's probably got a cold. That's all it is. Coughing up blood, he's fine.
I mean, there was a foreshadowing of it when Nick comes to her house and that she's like, well, you know, don't forget to dry his hair because he still has that cough.
Oh, yeah.
To Lucy, the babysitter. And Lucy was like, I know, I got it.
But remember, Benson does like to run through doorways a little bit more aggressive than she should to give off more.
That's true.
And the editing on their trailers are very misleading sometimes.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Which tease you because I believe it's sending like a warning, like, it may cost the life of one of our own.
Because of Rollins.
Watch it be like some sold, like a police officer we've never met gets shot.
Yeah.
Like, he was a great man. It's probably going to be someone like that.
Yeah.
You don't know. It could be taken any way. So,
Well.
But I'm glad that we lose the mustache, but we get the eyebrows.
Yeah, I'm so excited for Peter Gallagher's eyebrows.
Yes.
Love him. Can't wait.
He's going to be accepted?
I think yes. I think he's going to come in for one episode and then stay and take over for a bit. That's what I think. Or Tucker, I got it.
Okay.
So because Benson is going through all this trauma with her child who has a cold, and you may have been right that she lied to Amaro and said he could come back even though he wasn't allowed to yet, Tucker then decided that they need a new supervisor. Thus, Peter Gallagher is thrown in.
Okay.
Boom. Yeah. But I've been wrong all season so far, so who knows?
You've been right a little bit, too.
No, a little bit. Yeah. All right. On that note, this has been SVU Producers Back End. Roya, tell the people at home where they can find you.
Back End or Back End?
Back End.
It's one word.
Yeah.
Back End.
Oh, that makes sense.
I'm like, Back End? We're not doing it, dog. Like, anyways. Guys, You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Hey Roya. That's HEYROYA. Yell, where can they find you?
Not in a pool.
But being pulled over by cops, maybe.
Oh, for sure.
Get your way out of a ticket.
You can find me online at yell.tv. That's YAEL.TV. There you'll find information about the beautiful stylings from Sirens Boudoir. Also, all the other after shows that I do here at AfterBuzz. Also, I'm on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Google Plus. Also, at Yell Teagle. That's YAELTYGIEL. And we'll see you next week for more SVU. Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Dun, dun.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.